Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Authors on the Air. I'm your host today, James Littwell, and it's my pleasure to be with two authors that I respect their individual work, but we're going to have something new to talk about today in their collective work together. That's Lindy Walker and Bruce Robert Coffin. So, hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
And how are you?
Thanks for having us on, Jim.
Absolutely.
My pleasure. For those of you who don't know, let me just introduce these two fine authors for you so you kind of have a little bit of what they're about, and then we can get into the new book, which I think you're going to love. Lindy Walker writes about strong women who can't seem to stay out of trouble. Her books have appeared on finalist lists for the Agatha and Thriller Awards, and once on a major national bestsellers list, smack between two of her writing idols. An award-winning journalist, Lindy has covered everything from ribbon cuttings in high school football to capital murder trials and high-level police corruption. She's the author of 19 novels and 3 series, as well as several novellas and short stories. She's usually writing when she's not juggling laundry and children's sports schedules. So welcome, Lindy.
Thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure. And Bruce Robert Coffin is an award-winning novelist and short story writer. A retired detective sergeant, Bruce is the author of the Detective Byron Mysteries and co-author of the Turner and Mosley Files with Lindy that we'll talk about today. And he's also the author of the forthcoming Detective Justice Mysteries, which should be fun. He's the winner of Killer Nashville's Cyril Falchion Awards for Best Procedural and Best Investigator, and the Maine Literary Award for Best Crime Fiction. Bruce was also a finalist for the Agatha Award for Best Contemporary Novel, and his Anthony Award nominated short fiction has been published in a dozen anthologies, including America's Best Mystery Stories in 2016. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. Now I've read your work individually before, but you've come up with something really different this time. And for folks that haven't picked it up yet, we're talking about The General's Gold, and it's a real departure for you guys. It's a really an action adventure piece. If you think of, you know, the best of, you know, Clive Cussler and maybe the Da Vinci Code, it kind of has that feel to it. And you guys, I mean, pulled it off flawlessly. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful book.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. that's lofty company you have us in there. We have had so much fun with these that it's sort of always nerve-wracking, right? When a new book goes out for people to read it for the first time. And with these, we've been working on them sort of in secret for so long. And like, we're the only people who have seen it. And we're the only people who knew the characters for all this time. So it's been maybe a little more anxiety inducing, but so far everyone has said very nice things. So I'm excited to see.
Yeah, you should be excited. And let's kind of talk about those characters for a minute. And Lindy, we'll start with you. Okay. Avery Turner has a really unique relationship with Harry. And how did they come together in the story?
You know, it's funny, when I first started thinking about just like an overview of what kind of cast, what kind of setup, what kind of appeal we wanted to have for this series, I was sort of, that started from, I wanted like multi-generational appeal. Like, I don't know if you guys watch Only Murders in the Building on Hulu, but everybody in my family loves that show. From my seventh grader to my 75-year-old father-in-law, like everybody is really into that one. And that's kind of what I was going for, was something that there would be something for everyone. And so when I started thinking about Avery and this young woman who had come into all of this money through her intelligence and her ability with computers, and I wanted her to have a personal assistant. I didn't want a young woman in designer heels and a Donna Karan suit with an iPad. I wanted Alfred from Batman. And so that's sort of where Harry came from, was, you know, Alfred from Batman. But then when Bruce signed on to co-author the series with me, all of a sudden, then Avery's mother was a police officer who'd been killed in the line of duty. And so Harrison was mom's partner, who was sort of her surrogate uncle. And she had talked him into leaving the police force to, you know, maybe keep him around for a little longer and come be her assistant. And so that's how that all came about, because we all, you know, Bruce is a retired police officer. So I was like, oh, Bruce can write this character. And now I can't, like, I'm sitting here writing about Harrison and I see Bruce in my head. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly that. And Bruce, let's talk about Harrison. You know, he has that great backstory, and yeah. with your history and your background, but even more than that, some of the banter between Avery and Harrison, I could hear you, Bruce. I could hear you. I could hear you talk. So right. how did you come up with that character?
You know, he really just sort of invented himself once we started writing. I don't know. He just came to life so much easier. I really wanted somebody that would have that uncle type presence in Avery's life. And really, you know, they're both doing something different. Like she's trying to discover what her life is now that she, you know, she can do anything she wants. She can buy anything she wants. She can go anywhere she wants. But why? What is the point of her being? And Harry really can't quite get his handle around this. You know, he's done what he's done for so long, and all of those years in law enforcement are imprinted in his psyche. The one thing that he came into this naturally with was being protective of her and respectful of her. And, you know, really, she's got him wrapped right around her little finger, which is he's just a great character to write for that reason, I think. And so we, Lindy and I had talked a lot about wanting to kind of play as long as we could with that, Harrison being protective of her, not really sure about Carter's intentions. And, you know, is he just another playboy or, you know, that kind of thing. And so we knew we could really stretch and mess around with that and have fun with it. So, you know, Carter really kind of takes a beating at the hands of Harry. But anyway, I mean, and you know, because you were in law enforcement for a long time yourself, if we didn't love you, we wouldn't make fun of you. And that's kind of the thing. So, you know, there's a respect there that slowly will nurture, but, yeah. You know, he's got the best lines, you know, Junior Mint, he calls him Junior Mint at one point, and that actually came from, a conversation that I had with a retired lieutenant. And so there's a lot of fun writing those characters. There's no question about it, but he's my favorite. I love them all, but I love him the best.
Yeah, no, it comes through. It was really fun to read. And that banter back and forth was just great. Harry almost seems like a little bit of an anchor for Avery. He's kind of like her moral compass. She's quick to go off and kind of run. And he's kind of the one that puts on the brakes a little bit and says, let's think this through now a little, you know, kind of thing. So that was fun to see.
Right. Yeah. He's her, well, because he's her caution, you know, she spent her 20s sort of locked up in an office with a computer, not doing anything. And now she's able to be out in the world and go do. And she's sort of got a partner who's looking for adventure and Carter, who's kind of an adrenaline junkie and will jump faster than Avery will at stuff. So yeah, it's nice to have Harrison there to be that sort of voice of reason. Like, hey, you know, somebody could die. Maybe we should think about this for a minute.
And why don't we kind of dive in a little bit on the General's Gold, and maybe both of you can just kind of tell us more about that story without giving too much away, but what that story is about and how they come together with Carter and kind of face a lot of different threats over the course of the book.
Well, we had early on, we had talked about, you know, a series where every time we turn around, they'll be going someplace different, new and exotic. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, if we're going to introduce fans to this, and really, let's be honest, it's new for us to write this, let's focus on the things we know. And so Lindy, now being from Virginia and I'm from Maine, we had the entire East Coast we're pretty familiar with, but that was it. And so we said, all right, well, let's write a book that really encompasses that. And so the hunt will take place largely there. And what was chosen for this particular book from a historical perspective was the Revolutionary War. And there's a treasure that starts in the Revolutionary War era, and then it also kind of progresses into the Civil War of the U.S. So there's a lot of historical things. And being the East Coast, that's where everything happens. You know, I mean, that's really the oldest part of our entire country. So all the things you can imagine that might take place with somebody trying to send, you know, wealth over here to the U.S. for either nefarious purposes or otherwise, everybody's going to be in the middle of trying to get a piece of that or to try to intercept it. And that doesn't go away as the centuries pass. That doesn't go away. So that really was the kind of the basis of what we wanted to do. And it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of, I mean, we play with the historical stuff and we stretch that like it was silly putty. But there's always, you know, a basis for the kind of the stuff that we write. And so there's a lot, there's still a lot of research, even when you're writing historical fiction. But yeah, it was a lot of fun doing that.
That's great. Yeah. That's fantastic. So how did this dream team come together? I mean, individually, you know, Bruce, you know, I love the Detective Byron mysteries, and Lindy, the Faith McClellan series. It's one of my favorites. How did this kind of brings the best of both worlds together, but how did this whole thing come together for you guys?
So I was having a little bit of trouble with, you, if you read my faith books, you know, they're a little dark, the stories and the subject matter, and, having to sort of come up with a new way for a serial killer to inventively cut people up and have a good reason for it about every 6 months was starting to wear on me a little bit. And I wanted something that was more fun and lighter to write about, to break those up. And, it actually, I went to a reader conference, Malice Domestic. It was the first Malice back after COVID. And I heard from a lot of readers, like, I want to read about fun, you know, adventure, mystery solving. Like, I'm tired of reading about trailer parks and meth labs and very dark, depressing things. And so I went, well, maybe this idea that I have about these people hunting treasure is not so crazy. I mentioned it to my agent. They mentioned it to the publisher. And then the publisher said, let's, you know, you don't, basically I got told you have too many ideas and not enough time. And you don't have time to do this with your current contractual obligations. But if you really want to work on this, let's see if we can find a co-author who can build a series with you from the ground up, and y'all can work everything together, build the characters together. And Bruce's agent had sent a list to the publishing house of authors who were interested in a co-authoring situation. So I got forwarded the list. I saw Bruce's name on it and went, hey, I know Bruce. He's my friend and I've read his Byron books and they're really good. So I know he has talent. So let's talk to Bruce. And we managed to convince him to come on board here.
It only took 4 months.
it was a while of back and forth, but
it
we
was,
did.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, Lindy and I kind of did our thing all along. We, you know, early on, she sent me notes for the first two chapters. Well, really the prologue and the first chapter. And I said, well, let's try this. Let's see if we can, you know, let's see if you even like what I write. You know, give me your idea of what it's going to be. And then I just kind of had at it. And she loved what I wrote. And we did a lot of talking after that. So, but it is such a weird thing. Like, you know, just try to picture yourself, Jim. You're established already. People know you for a certain type of writing, certain style of writing. And then all of a sudden, you know, in my case, it worked out perfectly because my series had been ended by Harper. They didn't want to put out the fifth book. So I was really floundering and trying to write that standalone thriller. I think I started 7 or 8 of those actually. So I've got a bunch of stuff for later on.
There you go.
But I really, you know, it was the perfect timing, and I wanted to do something that was a little different. The thriller, for me, there was a more of a thriller aspect than what Lindy and Andrew Watts and those guys were bringing forward. And, Paula thought it would be a good fit. And, you know, like I say, it took some convincing, but Karen was all in early on. Paula was all in. My wife, Karen, Paula, when you name my agent, was all in. And I think Lindy was all in. So it was just kind of trying to bring me around. And I'm glad I did. I mean, honestly, I had no idea it would be this much fun. You know, they're all a lot of work. There's no easy way to write a novel, as you know. But Lindy's been great to work with. The whole process has been second to none. And if nothing else comes out of this, it lets me know that I can write something beyond the procedural, which I really started to think that was going to be all I do. So it's nice to know that you can kind of branch out and still have a lot of fun writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
We've had such a good time with these, and it's been so much fun to work with Bruce. And he was nervous at the beginning. He said, I don't know if I can do what you're looking for, because I've never tried to do anything like this before. And it was 2 summers ago, I was picking up my son from basketball camp, and I got an email from him that said, okay, look at this and see what you think. And I'm like reading on my phone and then basketball camp pickup line going, yes, this is, and I was like texting Andrew at the publishing house, like, this is what we want. I want Bruce. Let's do this. So, we've had such a good time with them. Like, they've just, they get more and more fun with each book.
That's
and
great.
She's a bottomless well of ideas. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? Lindy is the idea champion. It's just unbelievable. You know, I'll see the stuff in it and it's catching. Like you just can't help it. I'll be reading stuff and I'm like, all right, well, let's throw something else in here, you know, but the ideas, they never stop.
They don't. I thought everybody's brain worked like this until when I started working on this. I was like, doesn't everyone have 1,000 ideas when they're working on a book and have to put them in a different file?
That's always the scariest part for me is like, is that well going to dry up? I mean, you know, we've all read books written by author teams, co-authors, and some of them you can tell who wrote what and, you know, that kind of thing. But this General's Gold is kind of seamless. You can't pick out that there are two authors. It's kind of just one voice that kind of permeates the whole work. How did you make that happen? Because that's a trick.
It's magic.
It's magic.
You know, I think we came about this accidentally the way we were going to do this, but some of it wasn't by accident. I mean, like this was Lindy's idea, this series, you know, it was her impetus and she took this and ran with it and wanted to create the situation and the characters. And as we fleshed things out further and she continued to plot out the first book, you know, the storyline was there. So it was really getting to know the characters, getting to know the interplay, getting to know, you know, how we were going to work together. And really, because she had already done all that work, it just became naturally that, all right, well, give me the plot and I'll write the book. And so what we do is now that I've learned to do this, I was afraid to do anything different than what she had written down to begin with. I was really nervous about going off the page, but she kept hammering into me, just write your book. Here's the notes. Here's the recipe. Write your book. So that's how the books have been done. So when she gets the manuscript back, it's better than a first draft, but it's manuscript she hasn't seen. So any changes I've made, she's going to give a real reaction to it because it's the first time she's ever seen it. And then she'll start making, you know, the changes to make the book, to flesh things out, to put really the way she writes into a lot of the stuff that I've written. So I think it becomes seamless just because the way we do it is that it's not stealing chapters and she does one or I do one, or, you know, we swap characters. It's actually one story told by or outlined by one writer. The story's told by another writer. And then we make the tweaks and stuff that make it ours. And it's a great way to write. I think it works, you know?
Yeah. It's magic. You're right. It's magic because it does work. It really does work. Now, you guys are on an aggressive publication schedule for this. I mean, Bruce, I remember sitting down with you at Killer Nashville and you kind of told me what the schedule was going to look like. And it's like, I'm never going to see Bruce again. He's going to disappear. But you've got the General's Goal coming out now. You've got the Cardinal's Curse in June. And I think you said the Pirate's Secret is coming out in October.
Yes.
I mean, how did you guys manage this kind of an aggressive schedule? And can you tease us a little bit on what's to come in the Cardinal's Curse?
Sure.
I'm not pointing the right way. There we go.
He's pointing at me. Okay. So that's part of it is that, yes, we worked very fast on these and Bruce has been just a champion at turning around drafts in like 90 days after we get an approved outline for him to work from. But we've been stacking this up. I mean, we started working on this 2 summers ago. So it's been almost 2 years to get the first book out, which is kind of slow, even by publishing industry standards. So we're both like to finally see it and have the launch date be next week and hold copies of it in our hands has been really, really fun with this book. We finished the first two and then had the third one almost done before they set the publication dates so that we'd be sure that we can meet that rapid release schedule. And it's sort of, you know, because we've all gotten used to binging TV shows on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And so the publishers are, a lot of them are experimenting with this sort of stack up a series and do the rapid release so readers don't have to wait so long for the first 3 or 4 books in a series. And the Cardinal's Curse, that one we had just so much fun with. So yes, we started in General's Gold with keeping them on the East Coast in sort of this domestic setting so we could get into the characters, get our feet wet at the adventure mystery, because of course there has to be a murder mystery. Like, how does Avery get into treasure hunting? Because her friend was killed and the police think he killed himself and she doesn't. And he was hunting for this treasure and that's how he got himself killed. And so, you know, or maybe it is, maybe it's not. She's racing along trying to figure out. So then in the Cardinal's Curse, they've, you know, they found this legendary treasure and now they've sort of gotten themselves a reputation and gotten a little bit internet famous for that particular thing. And they get to go all kinds of places. We sent them to Antarctica as part of a scientific expedition that turned into a treasure hunting expedition. And then they go from there. Where do they go? They go to
Denmark or Norway?
They go to Denmark, they go to UK. New Zealand, right? Yeah. Then when they leave Antarctica, yeah, they go to New Zealand, they go to Argentina. Yeah. Like, Argentina. I mean, it's just so fun to research all these places, and she's got a private jet, so they can just call the pilot and be like, we're going here, and he comes to get them. It's really fun.
That's neat.
The research, I mean, it's crazy because you can do, I mean, think the things we can do now that, you know, you used to actually have to get on a plane and go someplace to see any of these things. And, you know, researching like the research stations in Antarctica and, you know, being able to tour them on a YouTube video or a program that was shot about them, just like walking through, you know, I can see what color everything is. I can see how people are dressed. You know, it's a lot of fun. So it's easy to bring those to life. Even when you're writing about, you know, sub-zero conditions on your sweltering hot summertime deck as you're writing. It's really weird because mentally I'm there, you know, and then I realize after I'm writing, my God, I'm sweating. This is crazy, you know. But yeah, it is a lot of fun, you know.
Thank God for That's Google neat. Street View.
Right.
I can stand in the middle of the street at this place and look around and see what's there.
That's great. Well, we're running time here, so I'm going to end with what I'm calling three quick hits, and that's three quick questions about your character. Lindy, we'll have you talk about Avery, and Bruce, how about you take Harry, and just tell me, what is that character's favorite cocktail?
A margarita.
Anything with Harrison's, either single malt or maybe a nice IPA, something along those lines.
Okay. How about that character's favorite music?
Avery likes classic rock and maybe a little bit of old country too.
Harry would be into jazz.
Really? Okay.
Because I'm into jazz. That's why. <There you go. laughs>
I figured it might be that
case. Right.
And the last question is, what is that character's biggest fear?
I think wasting her time is probably Avery's biggest fear. She likes to do things and make use of every minute.
I could see
Harry's biggest fear would be something happening to Avery. Oh, he would never forgive himself.
Very good. Yeah, makes perfect sense. This has been a lot of fun. You guys have been great.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
We've been talking about The General's Gold. It's the new release coming from Lindy Walker and Bruce Robert Coffin. It's action adventure at its best, folks. You want to go get your copies now and check this out. It's fantastic, and you guys have really done yourselves well. Congratulations on the new release.
Thank you,
Jim.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care, everyone.
Thank you.